We'll begin.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown, Giants, 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Send in your questions and comments there, or give us a call on the phone lines as well. The question we're posing today, and we kind of discussed it briefly yesterday with a couple of callers, but I want to kind of dive more into it because I think it's interesting in discussing some of the specific roles some of these Giants skill position players might end up having. Is who do you think will lead the Giants in yards from scrimmage this year? Now, this obviously does not include Eli Manning passing yards. That would make this too easy. It does not include David Wilson kickoff return yards. Also would make this too easy. So we're talking about any combination of rushing and receiving yards. Who will lead the Giants in that category? And as I take a look at this, I have trouble saying David Wilson is going to lead the Giants in yards per scrimmage. I know that was a big answer from people yesterday. And let me give my explanation for why. Number one, I don't think David Wilson's going to get enough carries where he's going to rush for more than 900, maybe 1,000 yards. And I'm not sure he's going to be used enough on third down where he's going to catch more than 20 passes for 100 and something yards. So I figure David Wilson's going to finish with at most 1,200 yards from scrimmage. Andre Brown will be less than that because he'll get fewer carries. And again, that's assuming no injuries. In my opinion, both Akeem Nicks and Victor Cruz this year will likely finish with more than 1,200 yards receiving. And because of Akeem Nicks' injury issues from year to year, I'm going to have to go with the guy that just signed a 5-year contract extension with the New York Football Giants, and that's Victor Cruz. I think Victor leads the Giants in yards from scrimmage this year. I think he's somewhere in the 1,300-yard range, give or take. He'll catch his 80 balls. Because I still think that Cruz is going to be a target up the middle, even if Ruben Randle and Akeem Nicks do well outside. That's how I see it going down. I'm sure you guys have differing opinions, but I still think the Giants are going to be a pass-first offense this year. And frankly, they should be. A, it's the direction the NFL is going. Most other teams are doing that, and that's number one. Number two, Eli Manning's the Giants' best player. Utilize him. Who are their second and third best players on offense? Probably Cruz and Nicks. And Brandon Myers is in the top 10. So is Ruben Randle. Use those guys. Make big plays. And that'll open up the running game a little bit. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go to our phones first and start with AJ up in Rochester. AJ, what's going on, Pally?
Hey, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, just contemplating on your question that you just asked.
What do you got? What do you think?
There's a couple dimensions to that. You know, been a Big Blue fan since Taylor was drafted. You know, I was in the second grade back then. So, you know, following Big Blue for a long time. Seen a lot of all-purpose cats come through. Meggett, Barber, kick returned at one point. I believe it was Ikeliar maybe was a kick returner at one point.
Amani Toomer did some special teams too before he tore up his knee.
Amani Toomer, you're right. Toomer did some kick returning also. To answer your question about from scrimmage, Cruz is obviously the most consistent, reliable target.
And that's why I picked him, right.
But here's the only caveat to your question. As far as David Wilson goes, he could be the number one scrimmage getter, yardage getter from scrimmage, if Eli Manning decides and Gilbride decide to put in more packages that throw him the ball. because you got some running backs throughout the league that get 40 catches a season. I know Bradshaw at one point caught like 40 balls or something like that. And that could be an interesting weapon, being that we have Myers and Cruz inside, and that would take everybody deep into zones. And then you got Wilson slipping out of the backfield for big yards with his wheels. You know, you give him 5 yards, he turns that into 15 in a blink. So, you know, it could be Wilson if the Giants decide to feature him more in the passing game versus just using him exclusively as a runner.
Well, that is true. It could be. But remember this too, AJ. In order for David Wilson to be in those opportunities to catch those balls, the Giants have to trust him to be on the field in passing situations and pass protect for Eli Manning, something he has not proven that he can do quite yet.
Well, let's try to have some faith in the young cat. I mean, I like him a lot. I think you know, the learning curve usually happens around the third year.
Yep.
So he has a little bit to go before he's at the NFL kind of, you know, textbook level. But, you know, I think if they feature him more, the way they hit with his motor, holy, you know, that guy can take it to the house in a blur. So, you know, it's probably going to be Cruz, but if they feature Wilson in a passing game more, it could be Wilson. Or it could also be Lewis Murphy if they let Lewis Murphy return kicks, because that guy is a blur also.
Remember, though, kick returns do not count for yards from scrimmage. Remember that.
Okay. No. You're right. Or they can even feature a guy like Murphy in, like, some end-arounds and some
sure.
things like that to utilize him differently. That's one of the things I like to see the Giants do. Mix it up a little bit, you know, not trickery, but just give defenses something else to think about, you know what I mean, instead of just Knicks, Cruz, Wilson. You know, they got Myers, which is great. They got Randall. They should, you know, if you think about the way the offense is designed right now, they kind of look a lot like the Saints, where you got to worry about every position on the field.
You know what? They do have, agree? You know, that's a good point. I think you could throw the Packers out there, too, where they're running out,
yeah. You
know, Jennings, Jordy Nelson, not Jennings anymore, obviously, but Randall Cobb, JerMichael Finley, and you have 4 or 5 guys out there on the field that could hurt you. The Giants could have a similar type of offensive attack. I agree.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's something to look out for. I'm excited about the Giants' offense. If Giants' D can step up, I know we're heavy D-line this year. If our linebackers can play like anything and hold that box together, I think we could have a nice little year there, you know?
Defense.
I'm a little worried about the secondary. I don't think you forget how to play linebacker overnight. But if you lose a step in the secondary, like a Webster, I think he's lost a step. And then you still got Ross, who I don't know where he's at. He's kind of NFL limbo as far as his playing ability. I don't know. I'm a little worried about the secondary. Not the safeties, but the corners, you know. Prince is okay, but that other corner bothers me. You know, I'm ready to see Webster step up again, or, you know, maybe we put him in a slot. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Webster's answer is going into the slot. I'm not sure if he has the lateral quickness for that. But the good news is that the Giants do have a lot of options there, whether it's Hosley, Ross, Terrell Thomas if he's healthy. Charles James is an undrafted free agent that they like. So they will have a lot of options there nonetheless. AJ, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Hey, take care, man. Thanks for giving us a call. I'm going through here as these guys call, and I'll get back to it in a second. I'll bring it up when I'm done. Through Gilbride's years here, I'm going to try to figure out exactly how many catches running backs have had in those years, and I'll go through it for you guys in a second. But for now, let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
Andrew, what's going on, man?
I want to see, can I comment on who I think is the most underrated Giants of all time?
Yeah, go for it, man. What do you got?
I got my number one is 2 Giants, the combination of Perry Williams and Mark Collins. They didn't have the big interception numbers, but they were able to shut down Jerry Rice in the prime of his career. Mark Collins, when he was a rookie, he got burned by Rice, but it never happened again. So I believe those two guys totally didn't get the credit they deserved. John Taylor, Jerry Rice, the best ever. They shut him down most of the time. All the punters, Sean Landetta, the late, great Dave Jennings, and Jeff Fiegels, and Maurice Carthon. And also, it sounds crazy to say Lawrence Taylor, but I think Taylor was one of the most underrated athletes of the 20th century, not necessarily an underrated Giant. And I want to say Cruz. Yeah, Cruz and Shakes. And can I put Andrew Sr., my father, on? And he likes to make a comment. He's even better than I am.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Put him on.
Good morning, and thank you. You know who I think was the most underrated Giant?
What do you got?
Allie Sherman.
Ah, the head coach from back
Poor
in the day,
Allie
huh?
Sherman. They dumped a gang of old guys on him, and they expected him to win. He didn't win, and then they dumped him. I thought he was a brilliant coach, and I just thought Allie Sherman got a bum deal with the Giants.
Well, you know, Allie Sherman had to take over for Jim Lee Howell, right, after he ended up going away. And then by the time he took over, a lot of those great players were kind of on the tail end of their careers.
They were. And the people they brought in that they thought would make it were old guys, too.
Right.
Y.A. Tittle, they were old guys. But I've been a Giant fan since Yankee Stadium. My son has written down here, Polo Grounds. No, I wasn't there, but I was at Yankee Stadium. You know, as a strange thing, I fed the Giants one time. The Giants used to have a basketball team, and I worked at the Newark Housing Authority, and I was running a big project, and we had a gym.
Yeah.
And their basketball team used to come in to practice, and I would have my cops come in to my security people to watch their cars, and I got to. It was Willie Williams, Spider Lockhart, that gang back then.
Oh, that's
you
funny.
You remember Spider Lockhart?
Well, I know the name. I never obviously saw Spider Lockhart play, but I definitely know the name, and he led the Giants in interceptions for a few years back then, if I remember correctly.
Yep. But, you know, when they call him Spider Lockhart, you know, I don't think he was 140 pounds. You couldn't believe he was skin and bones. That's why they call him Spider.
Oh, see, now that's
but
interesting.
But thank you for taking our call.
No problem. Happy to.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have a good one. See, I figured they'd call him Spider Lockhart because he had a lot of picks, so he had lots of arms. So the spider would be out there and it'd be grabbing balls all over the place. That's what I thought. All right, let me see if I can hit some of those things. It was kind of all over the place, which it was a good call. I like it. The father-son combination, always fun, too. Good stuff, guys. Thanks for going to call Andrew and Andrew's dad. I don't know Andrew's dad's name, but thanks as well. I agree with Mark Collins. I think he's extremely underrated. Everyone talks about that Giants pass rush from the late 80s and early 90s, but Mark Collins was a heck of a player. He was a heck of a player, and he did a great job in that secondary. He really, really did. So I like that as well. Another guy, I think, quite frankly, that was underrated for the Giants is Carl Banks. I think Lawrence Taylor gets so much attention with all the sacks, but Carl Banks did all the dirty work and did all the stuff that allowed LT to go after the quarterback. He stopped the run. He played pass coverage. He was consistent, always where he was supposed to be. I think Carl was really an underrated player. And I'm going to throw Howard Cross out there, too. Maybe a little biased. These guys work with me now on the broadcasting. But Howard played tight end for the Giants for a long time, caught passes if he had to. Great blocker, played here forever, was always consistent. But I think a lot of great names that those two guys threw out there. Maybe that'll be my topic tomorrow. See, these callers come up with these points and topics, and then I can bring them up for the next show. So, well, we'll do that tomorrow. But for now, again, our question for today, Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com, which, by the way, comes your way every day at 10 a.m. on Giants.com, is who do you think the Giants will lead the team in yards from scrimmage this year? Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Shakes?
Not so much, man. Oh, now, you were saying, like, it's a passing league. Early.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, I feel like the run sets up the pass. Like, I want us to run more.
That's also true.
I just think the run game, even though it's called traditional now because it's a passing league. But the run game, if you have a good run game and you have a good defense, you're bound to win games.
Look at the Point 49ers and the Seahawks last year, for example.
Exactly, because you can hold the time of possession, and when the defense comes, you can stop them.
Here's the problem, though, Shakes. Shakes, here's the problem. Does the Giants' defense have the type of stopping power that the 49ers and the Seahawks do? My answer is no. The Giants have to score more points in those teams in order to win games.
Okay, and my point of this is them linebackers. Don't the 49ers and the Seahawks got good linebackers?
You know what? The Seahawks strength, the Seahawks strength, in my opinion, is in the secondary on the defensive line. But the 49ers strength, on the other hand, remember, they're a 3-4 team, while the Seahawks, I believe, are a 4-3 defense. The 49ers strength on their defense is certainly in their linebackers. There's no question about it.
Don't sleep on Wagner in Seattle. Wagner is good.
No, he's good. He's good. I understand that.
Okay. Now you, I wanted to talk about Cruz, though.
Yeah. What do you got?
You were saying like a lot of us ain't had the excitement, and I wanted to say the reason why I think my theory was is that we seen this episode before. I mean, we seen it way too many times before where it just gets done. Jerry Reese does a good job of making sure that the key and core players stays right here. I mean, if you think about it, we was fussing. If we going to sign Armand Bradshaw, sign him. Oh, let's go back to Brandon Jacobs. Sign him to a four-year deal. It just goes back. You know what I'm saying? Like, we always get it done. And applaud Jerry Reese for it. Like, a lot of people saying Reese we trust, and then some people criticize him, like, oh, he gets too much credit, but he does his job. He's one of the top GMs in the league, and we got to applaud him for that.
Yeah, and you know, Shake, you're right. Very rarely do the Giants lose a player that they drafted and they're up for free agency for the first time and they want him back. Very rarely do the Giants lose a player like that. I'm trying to think in the last 5 or 6 years, and the only guy that really comes to mind that they would have liked to keep but they had to let go because of financial reasons was probably Barry Cofield. I can't think of anybody else besides him that they drafted that they really liked but they had to lose. I think Cofield might be the only guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it was Cofield. I like Cofield, too.
Now he's a good player.
It was another guy, but anyway. Corny. Corny. I remember Corny?
Yeah.
Griffin? Yeah, I love Griffin. both of them go to the Redskins.
And both tackles, too. It's funny.
Yeah. And which brings me to underrated. Nobody, and he was so good, but nobody really talks about him. Hammer.
Oh, Keith Hamilton. Yep.
I mean, why don't anybody talk about this guy? I mean, him and Strahan was wrecking things in that era. Man. So, the Cruz deal, last thing, it's a beautiful thing. Like, Jerry Reese, you the man. You the man to sign him to a 6-year deal, but this year you stay under the tender. Yeah, I mean, we held to our guns and we still got him for 8, like we wanted to. That, you know, that we needed to. If we could have paid him more, I think Jerry would have paid him more. But we got other things to worry about. We got Knicks. We got JPP. We got Joseph.
Yep.
So, you know, we got to keep these guys together. So, thanks, Cruz, for taking the deal. Thanks, Jerry Reese. Thanks, Giants organization. Thank you for giving us a voice. And I'm out, man.
All right, Shakes. Be good, man. Thanks for calling,
as always.
All right, I went through it here, and I went through the Giants running back in terms of their receptions going back till 2005. And I believe, Neil, help me out here. What year did Gilbride take over the play calling duties for Huffnagel? 06? Okay. So I'm going to take 05 out of the mix here and go to 06. Now it's like halfway through the year in 06, right? Last game of the year in 06. So the first real Gilbride year was in 2007. Okay. I thought so. Okay. So Gilbride actually was never really the full offensive coordinator when Tiki was here. He took over after Tiki left. So that actually makes my point even better, which I like, obviously. So, starting in 2007, Giants running backs and receptions, okay? In 2007, Jacobs caught 23 passes for 174, Derek Ward 26 for 179. In 2008, Ward had 41 catches for 384 yards. That was the best, not second best, actually. Bradshaw had 47 for 314 in 2010. Otherwise, you're looking at 18 catches for 184 for Jacobs in 09, 21 for 207 for Bradshaw in 09. In 2011, Bradshaw had 34 for 260, Ware, 27 for 170. And then last year, Bradshaw, 23 for 245. So as you can see, besides that, you know, the one Bradshaw and Derek Ward year wasn't for a lot of yards. The Giants don't really utilize their running backs much out of the backfield. So, you know, David Wilson splitting time with Andre Brown, maybe not being trusted in pass protection, I don't see him catching more than 25 balls this year, 200 yards, something like that, 250, maybe up to 300 if he has a couple long screen passes or something like that. But I'm just not sure I see David Wilson being utilized all that much out of the backfield as a receiver. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Let's go to Mike in Virginia. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Cruise. That's all I got to say.
All right, Mike. There we go.
I had the excitement yesterday. I was just busy. I was listening to the show, but I was. That's my guy. I like him a lot. I want to share that with you on the air if I can.
Yeah, go ahead, man. What do you got?
This is from Bleacher Report. So I'm using a trusted source. They did some studying on a statistical comparison of wide receivers who make $7 to $9 million a year.
Okay.
Versus Victor Cruz. Receptions per game. He was 5. They were 4. Obviously, this is an average, so things are skewed, you know. But yards per quarter, Cruz were 20, the others were 16. And TDs a season, Cruz was 9, and they were 5.
So, in other words, the Giants got pretty darn good value for Victor Cruz.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that, like, not only that, I was looking at, you know, everybody's worried about Hakeem. Next year they've got Boss, they've got Snead, Roll making $9 million a year, and I just don't see those guys getting that kind of money next year. Mm-hmm. So I could see them definitely still getting nicked with this, even though they signed Cruz to this deal, because none of those guys are going to get paid that much money. So, Victor Cruz, it sounds like we got a good value on him. But I do have a question for you.
Sure, what do you got?
So, you know, we've been talking about the offense and Cruz. Do you think Tuck can come back? Because I'm concerned about our defensive ends this year. I don't really see them as a strength. I think, you know, Reese did a good job clogging the middle in terms of the run defense. But I don't know. I'm not sure that we have the pass rush that we have that can help us get deep in the playoffs.
Well, you know, before JPP's injury, I obviously felt a lot better about it than I do now, you know, Captain Obvious. But I believe Justin Tuck can have a better year than he had the last 2 years. Do I think he's going to have a 12-sack season? I think that's a tough thing for me to predict after he's had, what, a combined 8 sacks the last 2 years, something like that. But could I see Tuck coming out having an 8.5-sack season and staying on the field a little bit more? I could see that. I could see Kiwanuka being back a defensive end full-time, getting somewhere in the 8-9 sack range as well. But do I see that combination of Tuck in his prime, OC in his prime, JPP, up-and-coming, 3-pass rusher, dominant combination that I've seen in years past? No, I do not. So I think you're right. I don't think defensive end is as big of a strength as it has been in the past.
Which concerns me because we need to win on defense, you know. And, you know, we're going to score all of these points, but, you know, in the playoffs it comes down to defense. You know, we didn't, you know, I think in all of those games we only scored 30 against Green Bay in the Super Bowl run. Everything else was like low 20 against Atlanta. We barely beat San Francisco with 20, and then the Super Bowl was 21. So, and then finally, underrated player. I got to go with Gary Reasons, especially when he did that pop on the Denver Broncos game at the goal line. I mean, that guy was soft, but he hit hard.
Hey, look, Gary Reasons, another guy that gets overlooked because of LT. That whole linebacking core was excellent with Harry Carson, Gary Reasons, later on Pepper Johnson, Carl Banks on the other side. They get overshadowed by LT a little bit. But those guys all did an excellent job in the middle.
And then, Giant fans, how about Leonard Marshall when he puts that hit on Joe Montana to change the game, you know, after they get a cheap shot off that lift?
Big Leonard, in terms of all-time sacks for the Giants, I think Leonard Marshall's top 5, if I'm not mistaken. I think he might be 3 or 4. And, you know, a lot of people don't talk about him, but Leonard Marshall was a very good Giant for a long time.
Yep. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call, bud.
Take care.
Take it easy. There we go. See, now people are getting into this underrated Giant thing. We can talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, too. That's good. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing this
morning? Doing right, Len. How about yourself?
Okay, good. Listen, underrated, I like the Reasons pick. And I always used to think, and this is probably just my perception, John, but when Gary Reasons was on the field, good things usually happen to the Giants. I don't know why. I have that in my mind, that when Gary was on the field, good things always seem to happen. He was a good player. Good player for the Giants. I'm going to take you back 49 years, and only the two times in all my fan life that the Giants disappointed me. Allie Sherman was a terrific coach, by the way, in my opinion.
Okay.
When they traded Sam Huff. Oh, man, that tore the heart out of me.
I'll tell you what, Sam Huff is, like, still upset about that today, by the way. He is still not very pleased about it.
He's been down here for a lot of years now.
Yeah.
Just retired from Redskin broadcasts, but that was just, to me, that was just one of the very, very, very few times in my fan life that the Giants disappointed me was trading Huff. Allie probably had something to do with that. But, hey, bottom line, the previous caller was correct. Allie was a terrific coach for the Giants. Let me ask you a question and then give you the play from scrimmage opening night. First play, Giants play, opening night against the Cowboys. But let me ask you a question, and I hope Chase isn't listening when I say this.
Oh, boy.
Given the number of defensive linemen that we have, John, and the number of defensive backs that we have, particularly at safety, and the fact that we're probably going to have to keep three quarterbacks, do you think there's a realistic chance that the Giants might only keep five linebackers?
No. And here's why. Special teams. You need linebackers to be effective on special teams and be good in coverage units, and I just don't think five's enough.
Okay. Even if we count the fifth-round pick, Cooper Taylor as quasi linebacker in that first year. You don't think that's a possibility?
I don't think Taylor is going to go anywhere near the linebacker position in year number one. To me, minimum a linebacker. Here's who you're going to have this year. Jaquan's going to be on the team. Herzlick's going to be on the team. Dan Connor's going to be on the team.
Right.
Keith Rivers is going to be on the team. Beyond that, I think there's a very good chance Spencer Paysinger has a roster spot because he's a good special teams player and he played a lot better next year. And then to get to those two five, I think Kyle Bosworth has a good chance of being on this team too because he's a very accomplished special teamer. And then you have Aaron Curry who they took a flyer on. So I think you're looking probably at six linebackers on the final 53.
Okay. See, I stopped after Paysinger.
Right.
But, okay, hey, I respect your opinion. All right, let me give you the play. Opening first play from scrimmage, John.
I'm writing this down.
Against the Cowboys on Sunday night. Write this down. Here we go. We go one back with Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
We go three wide.
Okay.
We send Wilson in motion. We score on the first play of the game, John.
To who?
We score.
Well, who are you going to, though?
Well, look at who we got. I mean, we got four guys out there, and that's keeping the tight end into block, John. So that we got six guys blocking for Eli. I want those three wide receivers running down the field. I want Wilson in motion. We score on the first play of the game. Somebody is going to be open.
Well, Len, if you're predicting the play, you got to give me. I'm assuming we're looking at a pass play here, something down the field.
Definitely.
So what do you think? Nicks, Cruz, Randall, Brandon Myers, give me some love here. Where are they going with that first play?
I think they're going to Nicks.
Nicks deep. All right.
You forced me into it. I just want to see that formation, and I want to see a lot of early down, John, first and second down. I want to see a lot of one back. I want to see a lot of three wide as the base formation. And, you know, I want to see that one back in motion. I think this offense is just absolutely loaded, John. There's my prediction, John. We score on the first play of the game against the Cowboys.
First play of the game against Dallas, Giants score. Len, I agree. I think this offense should be a top five, if not top three, offense in the league this year.
Oh,
they are pretty darn stacked.
This is it, John. We are ready. We're loaded. Everybody's in their prime. This is just no excuses. We're going to roll on offense, Sean.
Appreciate the call, Len.
Okay, man. Take care.
Thanks. Appreciate it. A lot of Allie Sherman talk on Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning. Who would have predicted that? That's the callers. You guys do a great job bringing up some random stuff. I love it. Spider Lockhart talk, Allie Sherman talk. We've had a Gary Reasons and Perry Williams reference over the course of this show. I love it. I love it. And I hope I showed you some of the older folks here that I am up on my Giants history. I know some stuff. It's because of that draft class challenge that we did. That, we do all these legacy interviews. Might not have been alive, but I know some stuff. 201-939-4513. Let's go through some Twitter comments right now real quick. I'll go through the rest of them before the show is over. My man Jamie O'Grady used to cover the Knicks. writes a good job on his blogs. David Wilson. Shy E likes David Wilson as well. 1,000 rushing yards, 300 receiving yards. 1,300 might do it. Remember, guys, return yards do not count as yards from scrimmage. The hunter, it has to be David Wilson. Bradshaw gone, so he'll get more touches, and he's a great returner. More mature running back, I agree. But remember, return yards don't count. Bree Double M's going with Victor Cruz because he plays multiple receiver positions. All right, I'll buy that. Demo Bucks likes David Wilson as well. Interesting. I'll go through the rest of these in a second. 201-939-4513. Gerson's all the way out in California. Gerson, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, pal?
So, I'm doing well. Doing well, thank you. Yesterday I said Wilson, but I didn't realize it just it wasn't. You weren't counting their punt return.
Only yards from scrimmage. Only yards on offense.
Yeah, so I picked them yesterday, but I'm still leaning they're going to be Victor Cruz leading. But you know what? Just the Victor. Myers.
Yeah, Myers.
And Hakeem. Them three, they're going to open it up. There's going to be no way they're going to be able to have. Most of the time, they're going to play with like nickel. And I could see Wilson being able to take advantage of that and taking, some either, like a screen or just a dump pass or just running the ball.
Well, do you think, how many carries a game do you think he's going to average, give or take?
You know what? I'm thinking at the beginning of the season, probably the first four games, he might do about 10, 12. But there after that, it depends on how he performs. I can see him doing closer to 15 to 20.
Okay.
It might be carries as in, like, not just running them, but I would think just dumping the ball as well. He'll get more touches that way.
Yeah, I'd say he should get probably somewhere between 15 and 20 touches each game, ideally.
Yeah, I think it all depends on his first 3 to 4 games on how he performs. If he's able to block, then he might get a third down.
And don't fumble.
You know what? I don't know what you think about this, but you know what? Since Bradshaw is out of the market, I can see them just not getting any veterans. They just want to really make these rookies, put them out there. They feel like confident about Wilson.
Hey, look,
and Brown.
To me, if the Giants were going to bring in a veteran running back, they would have done it already. Maybe somebody gets cut loose at some point during camp for another team that the Giants think are valuable or could help the team. But until then, I don't think they're going to add anybody else.
Correct. So that makes me believe that they're really confident on Wilson. So I could see him, playing a lot more than we think he will play for that reason. But one last thing.
Sure.
This season, Eli Manning is going to go for over 4,500 yards.
Like it. All right, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm aiming more for 5, but that's getting greedy.
Appreciate the call, Gerson.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Let me take a look at Eli Manning's career stats here. I don't believe he has ever gone for more than 40. Oh, no, I take that back. 2011, 49. I forgot about that. Besides that season, he's gone over 4,000 twice in 2009 and 2010. I forgot about that 4,900-yard season. He had an outside chance at 5,000 yards in that final game. Hakeem Nicks dropped the pass. That could have given him 5,000. That sounds like it's right. But, of course, 2011, you'll trade that 5,000 yards for the ring. So, there you go. Final two calls of the show before we say goodbye. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
How you doing, Johnny?
What's up, Jeff? Good to hear from you.
How's your time off, bud?
It was fantastic, and I'm happy to be back. Oh. Don't I sound refreshed and energized on the radio now?
You sound outstanding, bud.
I appreciate it.
I think it's a little too early to start drinking a Giants Kool-Aid already, okay? But I still think we need to sign another running back, okay? I'm not going to agree with that. I think somewhere along the line the Giants are going to add another veteran running back. I don't know when it will be. It won't be now, but probably later on during training camp.
Would not shock me.
I'm just not, what I see there is just not doing it for me right now. There's a million guys I could put down as underrated Giants, but I'll say one thing that when the Giants won the first Super Bowl there in the 80s, I thought Carl Banks was one of the best linebackers in the NFL that year. I mean, he was just doing it all. He did a tremendous job that year, and I just thought he was very, very, very outstanding.
Yeah, well, look, you could make the argument that Carl Banks could have been the MVP in that Super Bowl if Phil Simms didn't have that all-time great day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. But Phil Simms had quite a day himself. In regards to the, you know, underrated players, I mean, I could make a list of about 500 guys on there that I know. But, I mean, I really – one of my all-time favorite Giants, talking about the old-timers, was number 40 from the University of Cincinnati. His name was Joe Morrison. He was the ultimate blue-collar guy. I mean, he just went out there, and he wasn't the most talented guy, but you know, he played three or four different positions, and he's one of my all-time favorite Giants.
He's also one of those guys that played a lot on special teams, things like that, too.
Yeah, well, he was a running back, a flanker, a wide receiver. Yep. I mean, he just did it all. And another guy I really liked a whole lot was number 10, Brad Van Pelt. He was another outstanding player for the Giants.
Yeah, and Van Pelt was in those lean years when all the Giants really had was that, you know, good crunch punch linebacking core, and they really didn't have a whole lot of help besides those guys.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely correct on that count. But anyways, I think I'm really looking forward to the, you know, training camp's going to be here. I hope you're going to be doing some is there any chance you'll be doing some live reports with a call-in type thing like we did in Albany?
We should be doing the morning show during training camp every day, the same thing, probably about 9:30 to 10:30 each day. And then we're actually going to have, rather than doing the web show in the afternoon live, we're going to have actually a brand-new show this year on MSG, which will be simulcasted on the web every night at 6. We'll take some Twitter questions, and we'll take calls about two or three times a week, depending on the week. So you'll have an opportunity to chime in the morning and in the afternoon, early evening.
Oh, it's very good. Very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, John. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. You all have a good day now.
Be good, my friend. I thought of Jeff, by the way, when that – I forgot who sent it to me. I think Dave Melroy used to work here, sent it to me. How some guy wrote an article on Yahoo, how the perfect guy to replace Aaron Hernandez as tight end for the Patriots, Travis Beckham. Yeah. That's what Bill Belichick's going to do. The guy wrote this huge story about how when, you know, Beckham was in Wisconsin, he was this great receiver. Okay. I would be more concerned with what he did in the NFL the last 4 years rather than being concerned about Wisconsin in 2007, but that's just me. Final call of the show. Let's go to Steve down in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, guys? I was going to be left out today.
Nah, we got you in, buddy.
Hey, listen, the last caller stole my, he beat me to the punch with Joe Morrison. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and say, even though he's a Hall of Famer, has plenty of accolades, I just don't really think we can kind of really get a grasp of his career and what he meant, not only to the Giants, but African Americans throughout the league. And you got to go with Emmitt Tunnell.
Oh, I like that. That is an excellent pick.
And of course, I'm with my man. I can't even think of his name, even though I hear it every day. Shakes, I'm with Shakes, man. I've been saying ever since I've been calling the show, I always think we need to run first. You know, I just do, especially this year. You know, with the what I think is, you know, a questionable defensive end crew that, you know, that we've had in quite some time. I mean, I just think there's a lot of answers that need to be, not a question that need to be answered rather. So with that saying, I just think that, you know, we have our most success. You know, I've been a Giants fan for over 40 years, about 40 years now. And I just think we have our most success when we run the ball first. We've always seemed to have a better defense when we run first. I don't know if it's because of the time of possession, but it just seems that we're a more commanding team. We impose our will a little bit more when we run the ball first. And that's pretty much my 2 cents for the day. Obviously, I'm very happy to hear we got Nick under contract, and I hope he'll just focus in on football because it seems like we're already trying to push him to be like a leader of the team as well.
You mean Cruz?
Yes, Cruz. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You know, I know he's coming out talking about the Hernandez situation, stuff like that. I mean, I'm a critic, you know, of everything. So not just my Giants, even though I love to death. So I just really personally want to see him focus on football. I don't want to see a ton of endorsements and everything else. So I hope we don't really push him out there to, you know, into this leadership role just because he has a big paycheck. I just want him to do something.
No, I'm with
that's
you.
All.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Great show. I'll be tuning in. Have
thanks,
a good
man.
One.
By the way, Emlyn Tunnell, for you guys that don't know, and that was a great name that Steve brought up. Played from 1948 to 1960. That's 13 seasons, all right? In those 13 seasons, 79 interceptions. That's six a year in an era where they didn't even throw the ball that much. Let that sink in for a moment. Four return for touchdowns over the course of that time. Listen to these totals, all right? This is from 1948 to 1957, all with the Giants. Seven picks, 10 picks, 7, 9, 7, 6, 8, 7, 6, and 6. That's 12 straight years with at least six interceptions every single season. Throw in the fact that he was the Giants' punt returner in those years. And in 1951, he had three punt returns for touchdowns and a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Pro Football Hall of Fame, all 1950s team, made 9 Pro Bowls, obviously a Pro Football Hall of Famer, 4 first-team All-Pros. Had 10 non-offensive touchdowns over the course of his career. Unbelievable. Great player. Great player. Nobody really talks about him much. Was the premier defensive back in those days. Just fantastic player. So I love the Emlyn Tunnell. Joe Morrison. I mean, these guys, man, we're pulling names out of the hat here. It's fantastic. Joe Morrison, just for you guys, people that don't know him. He was a running back, receiver, kick returner, did a little punt returning as well early in his career. But some of his big years, he rushed for 568 yards in 63. In that same year, he had 31 catches for 284 yards. He had 40 catches around 5 different seasons. A good all-around player and just a solid Giant. Played flanker, halfback, fullback. So, good names out there, guys. And that'll be our topic tomorrow. Your most underrated player in Giants history. So put the thinking caps on. I want you to think about it. You got a couple days. You thin out some great names already. I want some more good ones. Past, present, you name it. That's what we'll talk about tomorrow on Giants.com at 10 a.m. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way once again. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Everyone, have a great one.